BBVA Compass Chairman Manolo Sanchez closed out the volunteer summit with a call to action to the team. He told them to take what you've learned here, be creative, and go make big, bright things happen. He's a good person to give this call to action because he has an extensive resume of community service himself. He's also the parent of three young kids. He has a lovely wife. He's devoted to his family, to work, and he's got all of this other stuff going on. I also think it's worth mentioning that his demeanor is exactly the opposite of what you might expect from someone with all those demands like that on him. He's calm, easygoing, not what I would be, in other words. So when I ask him the same question I've asked everyone else, it's with no small amount of curiosity. I really want to know how he does it.
The reason I am committing a lot of my time and energy to being out there and giving back is that it's somewhat sort of weaved into my DNA, in what I've become as an adult, as an individual. So obviously growing up, I came to the U.S. as an exchange student senior year in college. Senior year in high school. And it was amazing that, I applied to college and I got into a great university and I got the money to go there. And, you know, that really opened the door for a lot of privilege in my life and really getting to have a superb education and really kind of get in on a different track in life. So what really flexed the muscle of community involvement or giving back was that experience of having this unique opportunity because of the generosity of this university and the people that give back to them so that I could have those studies. And if you had met me at that time, you asked me, what do you want to do? I want to work toward the world's peace. That was like my... altruistic aspiration.
And I guess that's why you learned all those languages.
Yeah, that's when I learned languages and I wanted to be in the Foreign Service. But then I traveled the world. I learned Arabic. I spent 2 summers in Egypt learning Arabic. Traveling throughout the world, India, and you see that some of those kids you encounter throughout the world really are not going to have any opportunities in the way they're being educated, in the way they're being dressed, in the way they're being fed. I have this image, and this is not too long ago, in Myanmar, in a trip that we did, my wife and I, actually at the time, that's where I proposed to my wife, in Myanmar, in Burma, formerly known as Burma. In this, the kids over there, they're walking on the street, they have no shoes, they can't, the language, they don't speak English in that country because the government doesn't want them to be exposed to foreign influence. And seeing those kids over there really changed my life in that it really is, it's, if you want to make a difference, how do you help kids all around us be able to have these opportunities that they don't have? In Houston today, one of the organizations that really caught my attention was KIPP.
KIPP is a network of charter schools across the nation. It stands for Knowledge is Power Program.
And I learned from KIPP, from the founder, Mike Feinberg. I had never heard of KIPP before. And so when he was walking me through that idea that he had that, educating disadvantaged kids wasn't giving the results. They were not really progressing and graduating from college. He had founded this school 30 years ago, and he'd been able to graduate 50% of his eighth graders from college, whereas the only 20% actually graduated from disadvantaged schools. So I was listening to this guy, and I remember asking him the question. I was like, so what's the secret? How do you get lower income kids to graduate at 50% versus 20? And Mike's answer was, it's all about the adults, which it goes back to that issue about kids. Well, they're all the same kids. They're the same biology. They're the same psychology. What makes it, where are these outcomes so different? How can I get to action and help those kids have a better, a bright future, a better opportunity in life? That's where I'm coming from when I think of giving back, and that's the part that really touches my heart closest. I also love the cultural things that we do. I love classical music and I love art.
And did your mom? We had a debate over this. So your mom is a classical pianist. Mm-hmm. So is she a teacher? She teaches.
She never taught really. Okay. She was the eternal student. She actually
you have to be with the piano.
Yeah, right. You do have to be with the piano. But she actually quit when she had me. She was 23, and then when she had her youngest kid, my youngest brother, then my father a few years later bought her a piano.
Oh.
And it was a big event. And she went back to the conservatory. So I grew up learning, listening to my mother just repeating over and over Chopin. It's a very torturous thing to be the son of a pianist, you know, after a while. The main point about music is it really changes people's lives, and so does classical music clearly, but also the fine arts and painting and sculptures. And I think it opens kids' horizon into life, into creativity. It's another way of communicating and abstraction, language.
Yeah.
So it is really magical. And there's a lot of evidence that bringing classical music and the arts to underprivileged kids really can change their outcomes, right, and the results in their education, their behavior. And that's what I have a personal sort of quest here, which is the following. You know, we don't get CRA credit, right, Community Reinvestment Act credit for the arts. And
I didn't know that. So even if it's for low-income children?
Even if it's for low-income children.
I didn't know that. Okay.
The arts do not count for CRA.
What we're talking about here, and I'm going to have to simplify this because it's hugely complicated, but it's the Community Reinvestment Act. It was enacted by the government in the 1970s to make sure that federally insured banks do not discriminate against low to moderate income populations when it comes to extending credit and loans to them. And all such banks now have to undergo a Community Reinvestment Act, or CRA, exam, which measures how well they're serving those populations. Banks get measured on a number of different criteria, and they get credit on the exam for certain activities. Financial education activities, for sure. Things like down payment assistance for aspiring low-income homeowners. And some activities do not get credit.
What Manolo is specifically talking about here is when an employee volunteers for an arts-related organization, we do not get CRA credit for that.
It's a topic of particular interest to BBVA Compass because of its activities with the arts and disadvantaged communities. The Community Embedded Musician Program, for instance, is a joint partnership the bank has with the Houston Symphony and the Houston Independent School District to bring symphony musicians into the classrooms at Crespo Elementary School, which has a student population that's 95% economically disadvantaged. BBVA Compass is funding the program, which is the first of its kind in Houston.
And so I'm on a mission to prove, and the team has taken on this mission, this challenge of proving scientifically that the arts produce better outcomes. So this Community Embedded Musician Program is a first for us, not only because of the way we are deploying some of our dollars to support the symphony, we direct them to a lower-income community and to underprivileged kids, but our aspiration is that we can prove to the regulatory world that supervises CRA outcomes that this is a community-impacting initiative and they should count.
I feel like we have an entire squadron of very accomplished community organizers here at BBVA Compass. And I know this because I actually happen to sit right next to the corporate responsibility team. So I am confronted daily with a very concentrated population of do-gooders. I don't mean that to sound like I'm making light. It's actually fascinating for me as a relative newcomer to the banking industry. It wasn't something I was aware of at all, that we had this entire apparatus dedicated to giving back to our communities. And the cynics can say, yeah, but you have to do that. It's in your charter, it's regulation, you're expected to do it, et cetera, et cetera, which is all true and well and good. But when you see it in action and you know the people who are doing it and you see what motivates them, it's a different ball of wax. So my last question, if there were one thing you wanted people to know about us here at BBVA Compass, what would it be?
Well, clearly bankers don't have a good reputation in the country. They, for a reason, we went through a financial crisis. And, you know, out of corporate America, bankers really rank at the bottom of reputation for that reason. When I saw Avatar, which was actually came out, that movie came out around the financial crisis, James Cameron's movie, I was really struck by the fact that the bad guys were folks that really looked like our average banker. I mean, and the cost-benefit talk that they discuss is very much the core of corporate thinking. And it dawned on me, you know, that we were in a new paradigm. I mean, we used to think that the Nazis and the communists were the bad guys, but suddenly, you know, here we are. What I do for a living is the evil. And that was terrifying, because I don't feel that way. I feel that we are, not only we make a difference in our regular business by providing people, you know, the resources to grow as households, as individuals, as they go to college, as they build a family, as they retire, you know, as they start a business. That's really who we are, just providing that engine for people's lives. But also the fact that, yes, it's good business to have a prosperous community. So we have a vested interest in saying, okay, so we want to invest in this community. But it's the heart that drives that, is that giving back. And honestly, God, that's what we're all about.
Still, we can see.